If you got your Bibles, I hope all of you have a Bible tonight. I want you to follow me tonight. I'm going to do some teaching and preaching. I want to be a help to you. How many believe we need some help in these hours? Amen. And I'm glad I got a Bible we can preach out of. Inspired, infallible, inerrant. I'm not going to apologize for it. I'm not going to jump off the ship. I'm going to keep preaching the Word of God. Amen. Philippians chapter number 4, I want you to go there tonight. I want to encourage you tonight, and we're going to kind of do verse by verse down to verse number 9. And when we get down to verse 4, I'm going to give you the main thought of this evening's teaching. And I believe I'll be a help to you. I want to help you tonight. We're living in trouble sometimes. Wouldn't you nod your head at me? Real confusing. There's a lot of crises going on in our world. And we need some help. And we just don't need help from anywhere. We need to have some help from God. Amen. Let's look at these passages of Scripture. Philippians chapter 4. Now, I've called Philippians Paul's jailhouse journal. Paul was in jail when he wrote the epistle. And the theme of the epistle was joy. You said, how in the world could a man preach about joy when he was down in the prison? I want you to know I got a God that was down in the prison with him. You say, Preacher Smith, 17 times Paul talked about joy. I believe joy is important for the Christian. Amen. And let's look at this verse by verse, and I'll give you, I just do an exposition for you tonight, and I believe the time I get done, you'll get some help. First of all, I want you to know Paul's passion for this church. Now, the girl sang a little bit about Paul and Silas just a moment ago, and I kind of chuckled when you sang that part because, see, this church was birthed by Paul and Silas. First of all, they went down, and remember when Paul got that Macedonian call and said, come over and help us, and he turned from the east ministering to the west to minister, and he ended up down here at Philippi, and you know the story how he cast a demon out of this girl and put these people out of business. They got mad at him, throwed him in jail. Come on. You say, what'd he do while he's in jail? Pout? Complain? Have a pity party? That's what a lot of us do when we have a little downtime. All we want to do is have a little pity party. You know what he did, him and Paul and Silas did? They started praying. And then they started singing. You said, how in the world can you pray and sing when you're in trouble and you're in jail? If you know Jesus and you have Jesus, you can have a song wherever you're at, in whatever circumstance you're at. Thank God. Amen. You said, what happened? That whole place got shook up. God sent an earthquake. The jailer got all shook up and was going to kill himself. Paul said, don't you do yourself no harm. Then he looked at him and these great words, he said, well, what must I do to be saved? I'm glad that salvation is the same today as with the Philippian jailer. Amen. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Somebody help me preach. It's still the same. Amen. And then he went into the house of Lydia, not this Lydia, but Lydia, the seller of purple, and started this church, planted this church. And you'll see Paul's passion in verse number 1 for this church. Look at it. It said, therefore, my brethren, that's the dignity. Hey, by the way, to be a child of God, to be an heir of God, to be a brother and sister in Christ, to be a part of the body, a part of the bride, can I tell you, that's a high place to be. Thank God I'm a part of the church. Amen. I'm glad I'm a part of a local church. This was a local church. You know, people say, well, I'm a part of the big church over yonder. I don't fool with local churches until somebody gets sick in your family, until you need a preacher. Somebody help me preach. I thank God for a passion for the church. Then he said that he called them they were dear to him. He said they were my dearly beloved. I think with this church, I spent most of my life in this church. I've been your pastor for 43 and a half years, still kicking too, amen. And you know what I think of you? I call you my dearly beloved. You mean a lot to me. We went to the viewing today of Sarah, your uncle, I think, and I love that family. They're dearly beloved to me. Me and my wife don't get out much because she's being ill, and she did go, and she was an encouragement. And by the way, friends, we need to encourage each other in the church. Somebody say amen. And then glory. Therefore, my beloved, dearly beloved, and longed for. He desired them. He was in prison, but he wanted to see them. I'll tell you, I remember when I got hurt. And 6 weeks of the darkest time in my life. You said, why was it so dark? Because I couldn't see y'all. I longed to be at church. Them old boys said, I just wonder how quick he'll get back preaching. And one of them said, he'll be back soon as he can get back. You know why I'm so enthusiastic? I got a passion for this place. I long for this place. I'm just not a hireling. I'm a pastor. I'm a called man of God. And a called man of God loves his church, has a passion for his church, wants the best for his church, wants his church to thrive, wants his church to grow. I'm glad God's still growing Teays Valley Baptist. Amen. Look at his delight for the church. I know some pastors. Look at me. I know some pastors. They call me weekly. I have to give them a lecture. They're down on their church. They're down on their people. You know what Paul called this church? He called them his joy. I know some preachers, all they come and call me about is, so all my church members, they're nothing but a bunch of nightmares. Well, one of them called me the other day and said that to me, Alice. And you know what I said to him? It came out of my mouth too quick. I said, well, they're just reflecting their pastor. Boy, Rich, it got quiet on the phone there. I said, buddy, listen to me. That church will be on fire for God if you're on fire for God and quit your pouting. God planted you there. God put you there. You have a passion for that church. You love those people, and you'll see something great happen. Right. Yeah. Amen. Yeah, I'm preaching. I'm starting to get into it. I'm not even got into the sermon yet. I'm just kind of introducing. And then look at this. Look at these words. Y'all still with me? And then he called it my crown or his diadem. They were special. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, can I tell you, thank God for the church. Thank God for how special it is. Hey, I want you to know it's special. It's special to my staff. We love serving. We love preaching. We love going to nursing home. We love going to jails. We're getting ready to go to a mission trip in Romania. We love it. We love bringing kids in on Sunday night in the buses. Last Sunday night, we had 179 on the buses. God bless in a great way. Well, glory. But now listen, look at verse number 2. And then there was a little problem came up. I beseech you, Odias and Syntyche, that you be of the same mind in the Lord. Hello? By the way, there is a difference between unity and uniformity. Ain't all of us agree on everything. But I tell you, there's some things we can agree on. We can agree that this Bible is the Word of God. Amen. We can agree that the blood will never lose its power. We can agree that there's a blessed hope that the Lord Jesus is getting ready to come back after us. And we can agree, we can be of the same mind. The mission of the church is reaching lost people. Hadn't changed any. We need to pass out as many tracts as we can. We need to love as many people as we can. And we ought to be no high lifted up church. We need to care about people on where they're at. Somebody help me preach. Then I'm going somewhere, Chad. I'm just trying to build me a porch. And I treat you. Look at verse 3. Let me talk to you about his partners for a moment. And I treat thee also, true yoke fella. Help those women which labor with me in the gospel. Evidently, there's some ladies that followed him and helped him and ministered to him. He said, you help them people. And then he spoke to this man, Clement, also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. I want you to know, I think sometimes, look at me, we take each other for granted. You know, our music here is awesome. And we're not in no musical competition. We're not even in the entertainment business. If you can exalt Christ in music, if you can exalt Christ in helping somebody, if you could just be a partner. But I'm glad for the five staff guys I have. They're partners. I'm glad for the deacons we got. They're partners. I'm glad for all the Sunday school teachers and the youth people and the missionaries out of this church. They're all partners. What do you mean partners? They're our partners to get the gospel out, to do something. I wish we'd all look at it this way. You know, there's too much envy and strife in some of these churches around. There's so much bitterness and anger. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to be partners. But now fourthly, and here's the message. Now, it took a little while to get here, but I want you to see from verse 4 to verse 9 the priority of this passage that Paul had. And here's what I want to preach on tonight. You ready? How many of you come on without line? You worry once in a while. Well, rest of you just lie. How many of you feel anxious? Sure. How many agree with me? We're living in a nation right now that this is anxious times. Right now, Rich, our families are paying $5,200 more a year just to live because of inflation. And don't tell me that's not stressful. We've got people in political power that could care less about our values. And want to blame everybody but themselves for their rotten decisions. Somebody help me preach. We're living in a time right now that our families, our children, our schools, everything is under pressure. And if you're like me, you look at people, they're full of anxiety and worry. You said, preacher, miss, what are you preaching on tonight? I'm going to preach on this, how to wipe out worry. An antidote for anxiety. Come on now. Ain't a person in this room, if you live long enough, it's not going to have some anxiety and worry. You worry about your children. You worry about your grandchildren. You worry about your future. And you say, Preacher Smith, I'd like to have something from God. I'm under pressure. I'm under pressure with things around me. I'm setting everything in order. I need some help from God. There is help from the Word of God. I'm going to give you four things tonight to wipe it out. Amen. Just wipe it out. Amen? Will you follow me? How to wipe out worry. An antidote for anxiety. Hey, by the way, it's better than any pill you can take. Amen. I think if we Christians would live the Bible, we would put the pill companies out of business. Amen. Boy, it's quiet in here now. We put them out of business. Amen. God has an antidote. God has a victory for us. Let's look at it. Let me give you four things tonight. First of all, you want to wipe out worry? Look at verse number 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Exercise the praise of God. How many of y'all believe when praise start happens, that things start picking up? If some of us would just every once in a while let our dignity out and be praiseful. Hey, how many in this room's got something to praise about? How many in here God's done something for you? Why don't you get up and say something about it every once in a while? Why don't you rejoice to him more and more? And I want to tell you something. I'll tell you what praise does. It reverences the sovereign. You know what? God, when you start praising him and you start giving him glory, and he start looking your way. I tell you also, it refreshes saints. Boy, don't you like getting in the church? When business start picking up and people start rejoicing and forgetting all about their troubles and their problems and their marriage and everything else, and they just start praising. Someone help me preach. I'll tell you what I do when all that stuff happens. I start forgetting about my problems. There's just something about praise. There's just something, well, glory. I'll tell you what else it does. It reaches sinners. Hey, there ain't many people going to get saved if they're looking at a bunch of frowning people. What they need to do is find some people that said, let the Lord, redeemed of the Lord, say so. I want y'all to know, I'm saved. I'm sealed. I'm satisfied. I'm supplied. I've got supernatural ability through the power of the Holy Ghost in it. For our glory to God, I got something. Oh, yeah. Praise God as Lord. Amen. It's a source of rejoicing in the Lord. I'll tell you what we need less of. Come on now. We need less of men praise and more of God praise. I'm just getting a little exhausted with some of these, what I call mega churches, and some of these churches that's all they do is worship man. Now, I want you to follow me as I follow Christ. But I want you to know, I do not want no worship. That's only for one person. God. Hey, that's elevated to only one. Let somebody help me preach. We rejoice in the Lord. And he said, again, I say rejoice. He stresses it. He doubles down on it. You really want to get some help in your stress and your anxiety? Just take a look at where God brought you from. Take a look at what God done for you. And you might start rejoicing. How many of you, look at me, ever been in a dark valley where you couldn't hardly talk, couldn't hardly pray, but God came and helped you through it, came and blessed you, came and overshadowed you? Whoa! I feel like praising him tonight. I feel a little bit of my anxiety going down right now, just praising God. Not only should we praise God as Lord, but we ought to praise God for life. Hey, we live and we move and we have our being because of God. Woo! Look at verse number 5. Let's go. And y'all follow me? Lord, I'm starting to preach. I'm starting to enjoy it. Here's the antidote. Exercise the praise of God. But number 2, you want to wipe out worry? Express your prayers to God. Look at verse 5. Now, I got to interpret verse 5 because I heard a lunatic liberal touch on verse 5 the other day, Chad. If I could reach in the television, I would have ripped his throat out. Oh, that was a little rough, wasn't it? But listen to what he said. He said, let your moderation be known to all men. Here's what he said. He said, that means you can do a little sin as long as you moderate it. And you can smoke a little bit as long as you moderate it. And you can drink a little bit socially as long as you moderate it. What a stupid thing. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, that passage doesn't have anything to do with that. That word moderation there, I studied it out. It means to be gracious. It means to be reliant. It means to be yielding. Somebody help me preach. By the way, why should we rejoice? And why should we be moderate? And why? Because the Lord is at hand. How many of you believe Jesus is about ready to come? Man, I'm going to tell you what, I'm looking at everything going on. I think we're at 11:59. I believe Jesus Christ is ready to come very soon. And I think we ought to let our moderation be. We ought to have some self-restraint. That's why I didn't reach into television. Because I had some restraint. Now, hold a minute. If you're watching what I'm watching, out of the presidency, out of the Congress, it's hard for me to be restrainful. And I need some moderation. Because I'm going to tell you, they make me mad about 24/7. It may help me preach. Well, I don't want to jump off a subject yet. I want to real bad, but I'm going to stay on it, okay? Express your prayers. Now, let's look at the verse. It says this, verse 6. Are you there? Be careful for nothing. Boy, I tell you, I read that. How many just heard what I read? Do y'all know what that meant? That meant don't worry about anything. But most all of us raised our hands and said, we worry. Be careful. Don't be anxious about anything. You say, preacher, you can't live like that. Well, why would he say that if we couldn't do it, Colton? Why would God inspire the Apostle Paul to say, don't worry about anything if we couldn't get over worry? Number two, we need to express your prayers. Let's look at this. Y'all with me? Amen. But in everything, by prayer. Now, that's a plenariness of prayer. Everything you do, you ought to pray about. Come on now. Every decision you make ought to be bathed in prayer. How many in this room, come on, look at me, have made some bad decisions because you did not go to him first? Come on now. Yes, sir. You might have married the wrong person because you didn't go to him first. You might have took the wrong job because you didn't go to him first. You may be in the wrong church. You people that's listening. Not y'all. Y'all's in the right place. Yes, sir. You got to pray about everything. Amen. I had somebody I used to go here, and they want to come back, but you know how pride is. And they said, well, what do you think about such and such church? They said it, so if you're going to ask my opinion, I'm going to tell them, Allison. Now, he said, I'm thinking about going down there and taking my family down there. I just looked at him, I said, you prayed about that? You said, why did you say that? Well, they don't use the right Bible. They sing the wrong music. Their worship leader looks like something out of a rock band. Somebody help me preach. And don't tell me God sent you down to that mess. God wants you into a Bible-believing church that exalts Christ. Am I preaching tonight? And a lot of decisions we make, they are made because we don't pray. I don't know how many of y'all know my mentor, Herman Haynes. Just a few of you. Herman Haynes, he wasn't eloquent. He wasn't somebody that you would say would even been a great expositor of Scripture. But I'm going to tell you what he was. He was a leader. He was humble. He's the one that taught me the most important thing about pastoring was caring about my people and loving them where they are, no matter what their status was. And old Herman, he was humble. Many of you know his story, how his daughter was shot. And he saw it all. It broke him. But I want to tell you, he imputed that to me. He showed me the need to go to God in everything and in prayer. And I said, how aren't you bitter? He said, because I pray that God takes bitterness out of my system. Amen. Then the piety in prayer, that word prayer in this passage, look at it. Write it in your notes. It's a significant word. It means worship. I wonder, let me ask you something. When you pray, look at me. When you pray, do you start out by worshiping or wanting? You know, I really believe, and I'm going to try to be as light as I can on this, that we insult God sometimes by coming to him with all this stuff without bowing to him and worshiping him in prayer and telling him how wonderful he is and how thankful we are that he has loved us and cared for us and watched over us. We ought to go to him in prayer. Worship. Am I preaching? Stay with me. Then I see the passion in prayer. That's supplications. That's passion. I love the title of your ministry. Delight thyself in the Lord. You know what prayer is, Allison? Actually, is delighting yourself in God and going to him with your supplications. How many of you been able to see God turn situations around in your life just when you went and gave him all and told him that you needed him and you committed everything to him? How many of you seen God do some business with you? Yes, you have. You've seen some of your family saved. You've seen your finances being taken care of. You see God, some of your foes that's been giving you problems. God take care of them. Ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing better. There's nothing better than prayer. Supplication. And then with thanksgiving, that's praise. How many agree with me that we're not thankful enough? Am I preaching? I tell you why we worry so much, because we're so unthankful. God's been so good. Why would we complain about anything? Huh? I don't want people to see me complaining. I'm thankful. Do you know where God brought me from? Do you know where God brought you from? And where you are and where you're going? Thank God, we ought to be thankful.
Amen.
Then number three, let me hurry. Woo. I want to ask, how many of you experienced verse 7? After you prayed, and here's what happens. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Number three, we need to enjoy the peace of God. Why? Because God's peace is great. It passes all understanding. I did a word study on that word pass. It's a military term. It means to outflank. Everywhere the devil tries to get in to give you anxiety, God's peace outflanks him. God's peace surrounds you. You ever been in that place when everything was bad and everything was gloomy, but something happened to you? There was a peace that came to you that passes all understanding. Somebody was ready to die in your family. Somebody had a crisis in your family. And you thought, how are we going to get through this? And then there was a flooding of peace that came around you. Whoa! Whew. Me and my wife, we've had our ups and our downs, like every one of you. But I want to tell you something. Even though both of us had a little bit of physical hardship lately, can I tell you, I feel at peace more right now than I've ever had in my life. I feel like God's all guarded around me, all God's. Whoa, God's got me. Well, Gloria, you said God's got you. God's got me. Hey, by the way, he not only got me, he got you. He got your back. He got your front. He got your side. He got everything. Amen. Peace is great. And by the way, peace is a guard. Look what it says. Y'all with me? Whew. I love teaching like this, Chad. And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your what? Hearts and minds. That word keep means guard. Now, how many of y'all agree with me that all of our battles, how many of y'all know where your biggest battle is from? Raise your hand if you know. I'm going to tell you where it's at if you didn't raise your hand. It's between your ears. It's in your mind. I remember the first time I read Tim LaHaye's book, The Battle for the Mind. I tell you what the devil wants. He wants your mind. He wants your children's mind. He wants your grandchildren's mind. He wants to dominate your mind. And if he can get your mind, he can get you restless. But aren't you glad that I got a God of peace that protects our heart and protects our head? Whew. His peace comes over me. I've had some... How many said some things in your life, come on, look at me, that you thought, there ain't no way this is ever going to work out? Raise your hand. And then a peace came that God said, it is going to work out. I am going to help you. I am going to guard you. I'm glad I got a garrison around my mind when I enjoy the peace of God. I read a story. I love reading. In 1555, Chad, I know you appreciate history, church history. There's a man named Nicholas Redley. The next day, he was going to be burned at the stake. He was going to be a martyr for the cause of Christ. His brother was there to see Nicholas. And he said to Nicholas, do you want me to stay the night with you and comfort you during the night and get you through to help you, because you know tomorrow you're going to be burned at the stake for your preaching and your teaching of the gospel? And he looked at his brother and said, I thank you for your kindness, but I'm going to go to sleep tonight and rest better than I've ever rested, because I know when they burn me in the morning, I'm going to be lifted up into everlasting arms. And I'm, you know something, church, we don't realize what some of the martyrs that went before us, our Baptist brethren that went before us, that were persecuted and martyred and burned at the stake and drowned in the rivers, went through. And sometimes we got these little petty things don't mean a lick, and we let them bog us down. But Nicholas had a remedy because he was enjoying the peace of God. Whew. I wish my leg wasn't hurting. I'd take a run right now. By the way, God don't always give you peace, Brother Scott, in a loud way. They spend some midnight hours. When I was so restless, especially in this last 9 months, I don't know how anybody in here wears a sleep apnea machine, a sleep aid, do you? If you do, you know it ain't good to not have one on if you've been used to them. I went for 4 months without one. So what that meant is I was awake all the time. I mean, up in the midnight hour, in some pain. You say, what happened, preacher? God didn't come with thunder and lightning, but he came with a still, small voice. and just kind of whispered in my ear and said, "You're going to be all right." Can I say to you that's struggling tonight, that's under stress tonight, that's under duress tonight, can I tell you something? You're going to make it. God's going to get you through. God's going to help you. He's going to do it right early. He's going to take you to a large place. Then fourthly, and I'm done. Look at verse 8 and 9. Now I want to ask you a question. How many of you ever have a lot of problem with your thought life? By the way, you're not going to get a cure for anxiety and worry with a bad, faulty thought life. Now look at number 4, esteem the principles of God. Look at verse number 8. Are y'all there? Say amen if you're there. Finally, brethren, first of all, he talks about honest thoughts. Whatsoever things are true. I tell you what we need to do. We need to keep untruth out of our mind. We need to eliminate gossip from us. Too much gossip goes on. Too much hate going on. Somebody help me. We need to eliminate political propaganda out of our mind. We need to eliminate false religion out of our mind and only think on things that are true. You say, what's true? Jesus is true. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. Then holy thoughts. Whatsoever things are just. I want to tell you something. You wouldn't have unholy thoughts if you get your nose at your computer sometime. I'll tell you, some of you, now listen to me. This is a fact I'm ready to say. 50%, 7% of Christendom, I'm not saying this church, Christendom, watch some form of pornography every month. And you can't have holy thoughts and watch pornography. And you say, why are you preaching this? Because it's contagious. You want to know why people want to cheat on their spouse? You want to know why they want to alter their lifestyles? Because they see it on the tube. Amen. And it infiltrates their brain. Yeah. You say, why are you preaching on this? Because I know a lot of people that have failed to that sin and that sickness and that unholy thinking because of what they watch. Amen. And by the way, well, some of your Facebook friends, you could defriend them. Bunch of nonsense that goes on. Bunch of hate and gossip and lying. And somebody, how in the world are you going to have a holy mind listen to a bunch of unholy things? Good preaching, Reverend. Look at the passage. Y'all still with me? Man, this is good. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just. Listen to this. Whatsoever things that are pure. Oh, boy. That's a harmonious thought. We think on lovely things, pure things. Thank God for purity. Thank God for people that think pure thoughts. Amen. I see so many people raising their kids. Look at me. Parents, listen to me. Don't allow your kids to go reckless on their social media. And by the way, you better put some guards on that thing. Any parent that doesn't have a guard on their kid's phone is doing a dis. You're just not doing right. Amen. By the way, you ought to even get you a filtering system for your TV. I know, Chad, you were recommending too the other day, weren't you? You said, why? Well, your kids don't need to listen to that junk. Get a filter system. You said, well, it cost me a little bit. It better be cost you now than cost your kids later. You're preaching. Then happy thoughts. Whatsoever things of good report. And I've been thinking happy thoughts today. Ray, I had you on my mind today for some reason, Ray. I don't know why. I was praying for you and Frankie, and you know, thinking about you, I'm happy. I told somebody the other day, I said, I told Ray Humphrey that he wasn't allowed to die until I did. Because he's just a happy guy. Anybody say something against Ray Humphrey, you're going to have to come up and get me, and even on my gimpy leg, I'll take you out. He's a wonderful man. Start thinking happy thoughts. Amen. I love it when you get up and say, well, glory. I want you to know something. I deal with a lot of people that work with you. I do. And there's never, every person that ever talked about Ray Humphries, they always said he loved God, loved his family. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Happy thoughts. Yes. I run around with five young preachers. You say, what do you do with five young preachers? How old are you, Jared? You're the oldest. Oh, God, you're getting old, aren't you? Just kidding. I run around with five young guys. Somebody asked me the other day, see, you act so young. Well, if you're going to run around with five young guys, you're going to act young. I just enjoy life. They make fun of each other. They won't make fun of me. They know that's dangerous. But they make fun of each other all the time. They got a word for Brother Green. They got one for Chad. But they're so fun to be around. And you know what? Things don't have to be dull. By the way, we don't have to be sticking in the mud to be a Christian. We can be happy. We can have happy thoughts. We can enjoy God. Somebody help me preach. And then we have healthy thoughts, virtuous thoughts, sound thoughts, and then heavenly thoughts. And everything, give praise. Let me ask you something. I wonder how many in this room walked in this church and listened to me, struggling with something. You're anxious tonight, and you're troubled tonight. Could you take these principles and apply them to y'all? I wonder how many of you that's troubled tonight would come up around this altar and not worry about what people think and just say, you know what? I got a burden for my kids. I got a burden for my family. I got burdens that's eating me up, taking my peace away. Why don't you come and just cast your cares upon him? Stand with me. Lois, you come and sing something for us. If God spoke to you tonight, you said, preacher, I'm struggling with anxiety. I'm struggling with worry. God can give you peace. Brother, just come tonight. Just struggling. Come on, young parent. Come on, family. Come on.